The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at the tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told them that were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said to him, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is Jesus' first public act in the Gospel of John. It's kind of the event that defines who he is and what his ministry is going to be like throughout the rest of the gospel. It opens with Jesus traveling to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the greatest of the Jewish festivals, the Passover. And Jews from all around the world have journeyed to be in Jerusalem to observe this high holy day. And they dutifully bring their animals to be sacrificed as the law of the Old Testament prescribed. And then they also, during the year, they bring grain offerings, they bring their produce, and they give their money as gifts to God. To the Jews of Jesus' day, one's relationship with God was based upon the sacrifices that one brought to the temple. Bring the proper sacrifices and bring the proper gifts, and you have a right relationship with God. Ignore those sacrifices and gifts, and one was a sinner outside of God's grace. So Jesus arrives in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And he goes into the temple, and it's teeming with people, local folks from Jerusalem and visitors from other parts of Palestine like him, and pilgrims throughout the world from around the world. And they're bringing all sorts of things. They're bringing doves and goats and lambs and other gifts to the temple. Jesus arrives in the temple, and he sees the people coming and going. He sees the hustling and the bustling. He hears the bleating of the sheep and the noise of the crowd. And in a rage, he grabs a whip and drives them all out, buyers and sellers and animals alike. He overturns the tables of the money changers and he scatters their proceeds in the dust. Later on, the Jewish authorities track him down to ask him what was the reason for this violent outburst in the temple? And he answers, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus' words don't make any sense until after Easter. But on Good Friday, he will be nailed to a tree and hang there until he dies. And then 3 days later, on Easter morning, God will raise him back to new life. And also later at the very end of his ministry, with just a few hours before his betrayal, Jesus will tell his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. What Jesus is telling his disciples is that the path to God is no longer through the temple. The path to God is no longer based upon anything we can give or offer to God. The path to God is through Jesus. And the path to God goes through the cross. The cross. The cross is of course, the symbol of the Christian faith. The cross, it's a very unlikely symbol. We've kind of gotten used to it over the centuries, but what really is a cross? A cross was an instrument of execution. It was also an instrument of torture. In ancient times, the cross was a way to execute a person in the most painful way that they could devise. Seeing someone actually dying on a cross was a fantastic deterrent. You see someone die that way, and you would never want to get caught committing that crime. And the Christians chose the cross as their symbol. They chose it because it was not just a person dying that a terrible death, but it was the eternal, sinless Son of God dying on that cross that day for you and for me and for all believers. For many, the idea that God might die for human beings was ridiculous. The idea that God might die on a cross is ludicrous. You know, for Christians, our relationship with God is not based upon the proper sacrifices as it was in Jesus' day. It's not based upon living that perfect life. It's not based on anything that we can offer God, but rather what God offered for us on that hill outside Jerusalem. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds ludicrous. The concept is so radical that Christians chose a cross long ago, the instrument of execution and torture as their symbol. It would be like us choosing a noose to be a symbol of our faith, or an electric chair to be a symbol of our faith. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. It's ludicrous. As St. Paul would write, it's just plain foolish. But this is what he writes. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For we proclaim Christ crucified. But to those who are being called, Christ is the power and Christ is the wisdom of God.